It's showtime, folks. Welcome in Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Monday. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass as well. Ian Safar has been hanging out and about. Joe, how was your weekend?
It was good. Real quick before we get into the topic, which is taking over sports in America, which happened in our own backyard.
The Masters?
Yeah, the Masters. I don't even know. Who won that? I have no idea.
Hang on, really?
I have no
idea.
You're
kidding me, right?
I'm not watching golf. I don't care what it is.
Dude, I watched for two straight days. It was awesome.
I'm happy for you. I am elated that you did that. I'm not spending my time sitting in front of the TV watching golf.
I should make you have to talk about this just to punish you.
Then it'd be dead silence.
Rory McIlroy.
Oh, good for
won
him.
It. All right. It was his first time winning the Masters, and now he is the sixth player in history to have a career Grand Slam.
Nice. Good. Single, double, triple, and a home run.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a contrarian and everything. I don't know.
Oh, man.
I didn't watch.
It was so good. So compelling.
My thing, real quick, 5 seconds. Y'all need to slow down in this world on the road, right? There was a guy that was killed on Lebanon Road yesterday on a motorcycle speeding. Slow down. The fence by the airport, the bottom of Donaldson Pike, somebody went down there, lost control, and ripped the fence apart. So now they're fixing the fence, and traffic is backed up. I was visiting my brother yesterday, coming back from Portland. I was going, I was 81 miles an hour. I was going. I got a guy that honked at me because I was passing a truck, an 18-wheeler. I didn't go fast. He honked at me. He was going at least 95. Y'all got to slow down.
Yeah, well,
it's okay.
People are not patient at all anymore.
That's all I needed. Just slow down.
It's very annoying. But, yeah, I agree with you. So we have a big show planned today. The coach, whenever there's something big in college football, we call the coach. He'll join us at 9:30, Coach Walt Wells of Eastern Kentucky University, and Brett Kern will join us at 10.
Well, with the Nico thing, we need to know from a head coach perspective, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, well, before we go any further, I do want to announce something that I'm not going to play the rest of the show. I'm in negotiations on a new contract. So
take care of yourself.
I'm just going to leave, so good luck.
Could you imagine? You're a boss.
Right. Oh, I know.
One of the afternoon guys come in and say, I'm not going to do that.
One of?
You're like, no. Oh, bye.
I mean, look, if anybody said that, if I went and said that to my bosses, the answer would be like, all right.
It's been fun.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
It's been a good time. I just want to know now with the Nico thing, but who's on his side? If you're on his side, please text in. Please call us at 615-737-1025. I want to know because I think it's united us sports fans.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to hear from somebody that's pro Nico, as he said, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Because everything I've seen on Twitter has basically been like, all right, deuces.
Right.
See ya.
Take care of yourself.
And here's the thing. I think we can all say this. We all know this. We all understand how this works. If he had been, you know, this anointed one like everybody said he was, if he was, you know, contending for the Heisman, if they had won a playoff game, if they were predicted to, you know, be a top echelon team this year, guess what? He'd still be on the team. But he's not.
True.
And so that tells you everything that you need to know. The fact that there was none of this, oh, Nico, please stay. Please don't leave. Oh, we'll figure it out. Okay, we're on the phone with, you know, the Haslams now. We're going to get this worked out. You know, like none of that happened.
Right.
It was basically like Thursday, all this started coming out. We talked about it Friday of like, this is kind of strange. He doesn't show up to practice. You know, his dad's on Twitter saying, a bunch of BS. Like, none of it's true. And then by Saturday morning, Josh Heupel's telling the team, yeah, he's gone.
Right. This is from a source inside a source who knows somebody, blah, 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 blah. It says, it wasn't all about money. Spire Collective, the handle UT's NIL, was okay with the bump because it's not going to a different tax bracket. They leaked some stuff trying to pressure number 8's camp. UT had reached top dollar. Nico liked UT and Heupel. Daddy had been pipping him out since his first college snap. The true problem was Nico's family. They were riding this kid to the grave. Sometimes the juice is not worth the squeeze. They wanted tickets to this, extra seats. Give me a suite. Give me that suite. I want to go to that game. Endless barrage of things. Son making millions, trying to get comp tickets to charity dinners so they can get their butt kissed. On and on and on and on. Now word comes out that Nico wanted to negotiate before the College Football Playoff. And other players, quote, air quote, were going to do that. If they did not get their demands, they were going to allegedly sit out the playoff game. Good riddance. Goodbye. Gone. I mean, yep. But here's the deal. I said Saturday, Chase. Saturday was a great day for college football. It was also an awful day for college football. This is the world that y'all have created, and now you want to cry about it. Too bad.
I 100% agree with you. I mean, this is – well, and I'm not going to say everybody with y'all because I think we all kind of agreed that some things needed to change. There's no argument from my end there. The problem is you, being the NCAA, let it change and sat on your butt and didn't do anything to put any kind of regulations in. So now it truly is the Wild Wild West. And college football has always been the Wild Wild West. And it's even more the Wild Wild West now. We sit here, some people are appalled that this would even happen. Like, where's the loyalty? Y'all, the only loyalty that exists is to the dollar. Is to open up your phone, check your bank account. That's where the loyalty is. And if, you know, school B is over here going, hey, Nico, hey, man, yeah, we'll give you $4 million a year. Come on. Come over here. You know, I mean, that's the way it is now. Now, I did learn something through all of this, and maybe I should have known this, and maybe I did know this and just didn't realize I knew it. I know there's a spring transfer window, but I thought that was just for, like, basketball and, like, other sports. I did not realize that football – I thought once you got through the one in December, then you were locked in for a year. Yeah, that I think is BS. Like, I think once you, you know, transfer in the fall, like, that should be it. Like, there shouldn't be a spring window. At least they have regulations in place where you can't go to another SEC school, you know, within that time. But it's like, that just seems – but at the same time, you know, if dude don't want to be here or his parents are getting in the way or whatever, see ya.
Exactly. Yeah, all that. But it's the game they've all playing now. I mean, that's – you got the demands. You made him greater than the team, and now he's gone. And it's funny, man, because I didn't go to the spring game on Saturday, but a lot of people there were, like, cheering for the backup quarterbacks, like, loud and – so Nico's done. I mean,
I want one of these freshmen to get the job. Right. I mean, I know they're going to have to go get somebody in the portal, and they'll probably find a starter in the portal because, you know, what you've done now is open up a whole can of worms where there's going to be guys that were happy at their program, but it's a smaller program, and they're going to say, oh, the Tennessee job's open. I'm transferring.
I don't know. Maybe Heupel says, look, I got a couple good guys here. I got a recruit coming in next year. I'm going to live and die with these guys. And you got four months.
No, he's already said he's going to get, you know, okay. They have two guys.
Good. Don't beat them out. Bingo. Love it. McIntyre, you know? And the other guy, I forget his name. I can't pronounce.
Merklinger.
There we go. To do all that things. But this is the lay of the land. So, truly, how does it all work? You know, Coach Wells joins us at 9:30. He's a head coach of football, college football program. So he'll have all the answers. We can ask him anything we want, and he'll answer and let us know because there's a lot of like, well, how does this work? What goes on there? What about this? We'll get as much information as we can.
You know what I would love to see happen in all of this? What would be fantastic is, you know, he's been – Nico and his group have been such spoiled, petty you-know-whats about this that even like programs like a USC or UCLA or Oregon or whatever have all the deep pockets, they're like, you know what, you ain't worth it.
No.
And he ends up having to go, and I don't mean this in a, you know, a derogatory way, but he has to go to a smaller, like an MTSU or where he's not going to make the money.
Right.
And it's like, you want to play, you better go play and prove yourself all over again.
Oh, man.
That would be so fantastic.
Yeah, it would be.
Now starting for the TSU Tigers.
I don't know if they'd take him. I don't know.
I don't think they'd take him.
I mean, why would you take him?
I wouldn't. Like, Derek Mason, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but if I'm him, I don't want that in my group. Because you know that he'd just be there just to play and be gone as soon as he could be.
I mean, I'll take Vadiato every day over Nico. That goes on. So, yeah, I just think now he is what's the word? I mean, he is – he's charred goods or whatever you call that. The – what do you – don't want you anymore, whatever. You've got a problem with it. Nobody wants that problem on their program right now. They don't want to have it. So you just go forward with the guys you got. But, man, greed. Greed has been the downfall of man throughout history, and it's happening again right here.
All
right,
so George McIntyre, Brentwood Academy, his grandfather was at Vanderbilt, right?
Correct.
George McIntyre at Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Yep. Is Mike his dad or is Mike his uncle?
I think it's his uncle.
Uncle.
Yes. Okay. Who just got fired at FIU.
Yeah. But the McIntyres, I mean, have a lot of deep history here in Nashville.
Oh, yeah. George was coached from 79 to 85 at Vanderbilt. Matt and Mike McIntyre were his sons. And then,
So Matt's his dad.
I think that's correct. Yes. I know it's not the FIU coach, which was Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll go. With
Matt
we'll
played
that.
Here, and then his
where's
dad
Mike
got,
Morgan?
Then his dad got let go. Then he transferred to I think Georgia Tech, where he went and
gotcha.
Finished out his career.
Gotcha.
So, but anyway, I mean, he's been up there since January. He's an early enrollee, and I don't know, man. Maybe these guys beat him out. And you go for it. I'm proud of Heupel, man. I'm proud of that. Not letting that guy hijack your program. And there was some guy. I don't know. His name's Josh Pate. I was just reading about him. He's on 24/7. Staunchly defended Nico, and he got blasted.
I think you're incorrect there. If it's the clip that they played on the morning show,
from 24/7?
I don't call that defense.
On Saturday, he was like, they should have paid him. They should have paid him and figured it out.
He did a reverse stance last night.
All right.
We'll play that coming back. Again, good. You can weigh in on this. The Nico situation, are you for him? Are you against him? Do you care? 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're live today from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Chasing Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game on this Monday. The beat goes on in Knoxville. To get more of a coaching perspective on this, let's say hello to good friend of the show, Coach Walt Wells of Eastern Kentucky University. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing? Got a lot to talk about today, huh?
Just a couple different things. We appreciate you taking the time. We always come to you when there's a big story in college football, and also gives us a chance to brag on the job you've done at Eastern Kentucky. But I do want to get your perspective as a head coach, as someone that's having to navigate all these NIL and transfer portal waters in college athletics these days. When you saw this with Nico Iamaliava in Tennessee, I mean, what were kind of your thoughts as a coach of like, hey, we're in spring practice right now, about to have the spring game, and this guy is wanting more money and eventually leaves?
Well, I mean, it didn't surprise me when I heard the news, and you know, I heard like everybody else, you know, probably on Twitter or you know, somebody told me, but it doesn't surprise you because that's the state that college football is in right now. If you don't like your situation, you have every right to leave. And that's the rules that are in place right now. Now, do I agree with the rules? No. But does that matter? No, because the NCAA really doesn't care. And so that's where we're at. They're going to blame the judges. The judges are going to blame the NCAA. And nobody's stepping up and making a decision. And what it ends up doing is I'm not, you know, I don't blame Nico. I don't blame Tennessee. It's just how it happened. And it's happening all over the country. I mean, the portal opens Wednesday and goes to next Friday. And everybody's, you know, I've got 2 weeks of spring ball left. And everybody else is either done or close to getting done. So it's just where it's at right now.
Well, and I look at the situation now with the spring portal opening of a program like yours, for instance, that let's say you got a quarterback that you're locked in on and you feel really, really good about it and everything's been great. Well, all of a sudden he sees that the Tennessee job's open. There's going to be kids that are going to enter the portal that had no plans to do so a week ago. And now you're going to kind of mess with some other programs. Now, granted, I understand they could go back and all of that, but it creates more of a wild, wild west situation that, like you said, if the NCAA and all of that cared a little bit more and put some regulations in place, this could all be avoided.
Well, it's people making decisions that aren't, in my opinion, haven't ever been in the fray of what's going on. And you know, they sit up there and they think they got all the time in the world. Well, it's just like last night, you know, after Joe texted me and asked me to come on, you know, I get a call from a really good football player that says, hey, can we meet tomorrow? Well, what's the first thing that goes in my mind?
Right.
You know, oh, here we go. And, you know, because you know there's agents that are calling these guys, and the agents are pitting the players against the coaches. You know, like, hey, we've got your best interest at heart. Those coaches don't. They just want to win. Well, hang on a second. Now, didn't we have their best interest at heart when we offered them a scholarship to get an education to, you know, that we'll never leave them? And, you know, and of course they're going to say, well, we're just trying to get the best money for them and make the most money. That's what America is all about. And there's some truth to that too. But, you know, there's also rules and regulation in most jobs. You know, the NFL has a great model. Don't understand why we haven't adopted it quicker, especially for the Power Fours and, you know, the group that's eventually going to break away and have their 40 to 60 team league and do it. You know, it's just going to be minor league football.
So, all right, Walt Wells, head coach, Eastern Kentucky, proud McGavick High School graduate, damn it.
That's
just put
right.
that out there. All right, so a guy comes to you, say a safety, he's really good, says, coach, I need more money. What do you do then? Coach, do you go to the collective? Do you go to your AD? What's the process? Because I think a lot of us are confused on the process.
Well, the process is what we're waiting to find out about. All right, so the process right now, currently as it sits, is it has to be gone through a collective. And so the collective has to have interest in helping the individual and then goes from there. Okay. The coaches are technically, I mean, we can set that meeting up and let them discuss the meeting and do all that stuff. They finally changed that rule a couple of years ago. So if they come in and they do that, then the collective is going to do that. Now, the collective has the right to do whatever they want to. If they want to help that young man out, they can. If they don't, they don't have to. You know, each level's different and how it's ran and how much money is actually in the collective is different. So I think that's the part that everybody's got to understand is, you know, it hasn't come from the school yet. Now, starting when this settlement, house settlement was supposed to have been done a week ago, it's not, and everything happens, you know, your Power Fours are going to have, you know, most football schools are going to have $22 million to dish out to their players.
It's pretty good, right?
Of 105, right. Oh, it's great. Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome. And I think, you know, the average would probably be $170,000 or $80,000, maybe $200,000 right in there somewhere of what every kid will make. You know, and then 85 of them will probably be on scholarship and not have to pay for school out of that. And so, you know, I mean, I think if you go for 4 years or 5 years that you potentially can do, and you know, I mean, if you're a college student and you got your school paid for and you stick around for 4 years, let's just say four, because most Power Fours are three, but I mean, let's say four. Well, that's, you know, I don't know. Let's do the easy math and say it's $200,000, and that's $800,000. Well, surely you can live off in 4 years, $100,000 and save $400,000. And then but what these kids don't understand, I got to pay taxes.
Right.
I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to, you know, if I've got, you know, if it's coming from the school, then they don't have to have an agent fee. But if it's coming outside, and then you still have the collective that'll still be there for some of the other kids. And what they're saying is, well, the collective, the agents are taking, you know, an NFL agent takes 3% on the average. Now, I'm not saying every agent. Most agents take either 15 or 20% of these kids' money. So, I mean, that's a lot of money to broker a deal for a guy to leave a school to go to another school. That's all you really done.
Good Lord. I mean, you've been on the phone with us for 9 minutes. We haven't talked any X's and O's. Is this the world we're in now?
Well, it's constantly that. I mean, you try to let your assistants do that job, and then you and, you know, if you're, you know, it's different at our level, but at the P4 level, they got general managers, assistant general managers, and everybody, I mean, it's very similar to how it used to be, when you had to deal with what we called street agents. They're just now legally doing it and taking the 20%.
The portal starts on Wednesday. You're in the middle of spring practice. Will you lose players?
I have before. This time last year, I lost my starting tailback. And, you know, 2 years ago, Jaden Higgins, who is going to be a, you know, number, probably a second round pick in the draft, maybe swing up into the first or move down to the third. He's right in there with, you know, left at this time and went to Iowa State. And, you know, I lost some other guys and, you know, battled to keep guys. And, you know, it's not what, you know, what everybody's got to decide is that this is not college football that you grew up on, that I grew up on, and that our parents grew up on. This is really minor league football. You know, I don't see how they can hold me responsible for education. I mean, because they're like, well, if your guy transfers, you're responsible. If he doesn't graduate, you lose a point. Well, why do I lose a point when they can transfer every semester?
Yeah.
Am I responsible for his education?
Yeah, education to me, like, I don't even think they care about it anymore. I want to ask you this. Along the lines of what you just said, minor league football, do you ever see a scenario where a guy leaves, he's got 1 or 2 years left of eligibility, goes into the NFL, flops, and then all of a sudden decides, hey, I want to go back to school, and then picks up his college career? Do you ever see that happening?
No, I don't see them being able to go play pro and then come back and play college. No, I would not think that would
I mean, you understand why I'm thinking that way, though, because of how the – I mean, like, who's to say, I'll use Will Levis as an example. I mean, he's gone to the league, hadn't gone great. I mean, I made the joke of, oh, Tennessee should call him. I mean, if he went to a college program right now, he'd probably be pretty good.
Well, the problem is, in my opinion, is you still got to do the school aspect of it while you're there.
Sure. Well, a lot of these guys leave early and don't even finish their degree.
Well, most of them have got their degree by because you can't leave until your third year.
Right.
And most of them have their degree done because of summer school and early enrolling at that level. And so, you know, what was happening and under the old system is these guys that didn't leave early were getting their master's degree paid for. Now all that, you know, I mean, it's like the talk amongst coaches is, why am I trying to get them 2 degrees when it's just costing me money? Because we've gone from scholarships now to a budget. All right, so I used to have, you know, I had 63 scholarships that I can give up to 85 people on aid. At Tennessee, they have 85 scholarships that they could give 85 to. Well, now they have a budget, whatever that budget is. And it's $22 million, plus their scholarship money, which is probably $2 to $3 million.
That's pretty – yeah, keep going.
So now you just – we're in the process here at EKU of developing contracts, okay? What does the contract – what can it say and what do you want it to say? Do you want it to talk about academics? Do you want it to talk about – all right, let's just say used to a kid quit, right, in September. Just, I don't love football anymore. I don't want to play anymore. And he'd stay on scholarship the rest of the way, right? Nowadays, hey, man, you got a contract. You broke your contract. Now you owe, let's just say for simplicity, there's 6 months in a contract. You went 3 months. You owe 3 months of tuition. You owe 3 months of room and board. I'm not paying that.
Right.
Because I got to save that money to try to pay somebody else to stay, maybe.
Yeah, and it never ends, right? Hey, listen, hold on the line. We got two more questions. We're going to take a break. Can you hold on?
Yeah, I can.
All right, we're going to hold on. We'll come back with you.
All right, we're going to put Coach on hold. We'll have more with EKU head football coach Walt Wells coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Monday. The beat goes on. In Knoxville. To get more of a coaching perspective on this, let's say hello to good friend of the show, Coach Walt Wells of Eastern Kentucky University. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing? Got a lot to talk about today, huh?
Just a couple different things. We appreciate you taking the time. We always come to you when there's a big story in college football, and also gives us a chance to brag on the job you've done at Eastern Kentucky. But I do want to get your perspective as a head coach, as someone that's having to navigate all these NIL and transfer portal waters in college athletics these days. When you saw this with Nico Iamaliava in Tennessee, I mean, what were kind of your thoughts as a coach of like, hey, this is, we're in spring practice right now, about to have the spring game, and this guy is wanting more money and eventually leaves?
Well, I mean, it didn't surprise me when I heard the news, and you know, I heard like everybody else, you know, probably on Twitter or you know, somebody told me, but it doesn't surprise you because that's the state that college football is in right now. If you don't like your situation, you have every right to leave. And that's the rules that are in place right now. Now, do I agree with the rules? No. But does that matter? No, because the NCAA really doesn't care. And so that's where we're at. They're going to blame the judges. The judges are going to blame the NCAA. And nobody's stepping up and making a decision. And what it ends up doing is I'm not, you know, I don't blame Nico. I don't blame Tennessee. It's just how it happened. And it's happening all over the country. I mean, the portal opens Wednesday and goes to next Friday. And everybody's, you know, I've got 2 weeks of spring ball left. And everybody else is either done or close to getting done. So it's just where it's at right now.
Well, and I look at the situation now with the spring portal opening of a program like yours, for instance, that let's say you got a quarterback that you're locked in on and you feel really, really good about it and everything's been great. Well, all of a sudden he sees that the Tennessee job's open. There's going to be kids that are going to enter the portal that had no plans to do so a week ago. And now you're going to kind of mess with some other programs. Now, granted, I understand they could go back and all of that, but it creates more of a wild, wild west situation that, like you said, if the NCAA and all of that cared a little bit more and put some regulations in place, this could all be avoided.
Well, it's people making decisions that aren't, in my opinion, haven't ever been in the fray of what's going on. And you know, they sit up there and they think they got all the time in the world. Well, it's just like last night, you know, after Joe texted me and asked me to come on, you know, I get a call from a really good football player that says, hey, can we meet tomorrow? Well, what's the first thing that goes in my mind?
Right.
You know, oh, here we go. And, you know, because you know there's agents that are calling these guys, and the agents are pitting the players against the coaches. You know, like, hey, we've got your best interest at heart. Those coaches don't. They just want to win. Well, hang on a second. Now, didn't we have their best interest at heart when we offered them a scholarship to get an education to, you know, that we'll never leave them? And, you know, and of course they're going to say, well, we're just trying to get the best money for them and make the most money. That's what America's all about. And there's some truth to that too. But, you know, there's also rules and regulation in most jobs. You know, the NFL has a great model. Don't understand why we haven't adopted it quicker, especially for the Power Fours and, you know, the group that's eventually going to break away and have their 40 to 60 team league and do it. You know, it's just going to be minor league football.
So, all right, Walt Wells, head coach, Eastern Kentucky, proud McGavick High School graduate, damn it.
That's
just put
right.
That out there. All right, so a guy comes to you, a safety, he's really good, says, coach, I need more money. What do you do then, coach? Do you go to the collective? Do you go to your AD? What's the process? Because I think a lot of us are confused on the process.
Well, the process is what we're waiting to find out about. All right, so the process right now, currently as it sits, is it has to be gone through a collective. And so the collective has to have interest in helping the individual and then goes from there, okay? The coaches are technically, I mean, we can set that meeting up and let them discuss the meeting and do all that stuff. They finally changed that rule a couple of years ago. So if they come in and they do that, then the collective is going to do that. Now, the collective has the right to do whatever they want to. If they want to help that young man out, they can. If they don't, they don't have to. You know, each level's different, and how it's ran and how much money is actually in the collective is different. So I think that's the part that everybody's got to understand is, you know, it hasn't come from the school yet. Now, starting when this settlement, house settlement was supposed to have been done a week ago, it's not, and everything happens, you know, your power fours are going to have, you know, most football schools are going to have $22 million to dish out to their players.
It's pretty good, right?
Of 105, right. Oh, it's great. Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome. And I think, you know, the average would probably be $170,000 or $80,000, maybe $200,000 right in there somewhere of what every kid will make. You know, and then 85 of them will probably be on scholarship and not have to pay for school out of that. And so, you know, I mean, I think if you go for 4 years or 5 years that you potentially can do, and if you're a college student and you got your school paid for, and you stick around for 4 years, let's just say four, because most power fours are three, but I mean, let's say four. Well, that's, you know, I don't know. Let's do the easy math and say it's $200,000, and that's $800,000. Well, surely you can live off in 4 years $100,000 and save $400,000. And then but what these kids don't understand, I got to pay taxes.
Right.
I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to, you know, if I've got, you know, if it's coming from the school, then they don't have to have an agent fee. But if it's coming outside, and then you still have the collective that'll still be there for some of the other kids. And what they're saying is, well, the collective, the agents are taking, you know, an NFL agent takes 3%. On the average, now I'm not saying every agent, most agents take either 15 or 20% of these kids' money. So, I mean, that's a lot of money. To broker a deal for a guy to leave a school to go to another school, that's all you really done.
Good Lord. I mean, you've been on the phone with us for 9 minutes. We haven't talked any X's and O's. Is this the world we're in now?
Well, it's constantly that. I mean, you try to let your assistants do that job, and then you and, you know, if you're, you know, it's different at our level, but at the P4 level, they got general managers, assistant general managers, and everybody, I mean, it's very similar to how it used to be when you had to deal with what we called street agents. They're just now legally doing it and taking the 20%.
The portal starts on Wednesday. You're in the middle of spring practice. Will you lose players?
I have before. This time last year, I lost my starting tailback. And, you know, 2 years ago, Jaden Higgins, who is going to be a, you know, number, probably a second round pick in the draft, maybe swing up into the first or move down to the third. He's right in there with, you know, left at this time and went to Iowa State. And, you know, I lost some other guys and, you know, battled to keep guys. And, you know, it's not what, you know, what everybody's got to decide is that this is not college football that you grew up on, that I grew up on, and that our parents grew up on. This is really minor league football. You know, I don't see how they can hold me responsible for education. I mean, because they're like, well, if you got transfers, you're responsible. If he doesn't graduate, you lose a point. Well, why do I lose a point when they can transfer every semester?
Yeah.
Am I responsible for his education?
Yeah, education, to me, like, I don't even think they care about it anymore. I want to ask you this. Along the lines of what you just said, minor league football, do you ever see a scenario where a guy leaves, he's got 1 or 2 years left of eligibility, goes into the NFL, flops, and then all of a sudden decides, hey, I want to go back to school, and then picks up his college career? Do you ever see that happening?
No, I don't see them being able to go play pro and then come back and play college. No, I would not think that would
I mean, you understand why I'm thinking that way, though, because of how – I mean, like, who's to say I'll use Will Levis as an example. I mean, he's gone to the league, hadn't gone great. I mean, I made the joke of, oh, Tennessee should call him. I mean, if he went to a college program right now, he'd probably be pretty good.
Well, the problem is, in my opinion, is you still got to do the school aspect of it while you're there.
Sure. Well, a lot of these guys leave early and don't even finish their degree.
Well, most of them have got their degree because you can't leave until your third year.
Right.
And most of them have their degree done because of summer school and early enrolling at that level. And so, you know, what was happening and under the old system is these guys that didn't leave early were getting their master's degree paid for. Now all that, you know, I mean, it's like the talk amongst coaches is, why am I trying to get them 2 degrees when it's just costing me money? Because we've gone from scholarships now to a budget. All right. So I used to have, you know, I had 63 scholarships that I can give up to 85 people on aid. At Tennessee, they have 85 scholarships that they could give 85 to. Well, now they have a budget, whatever that budget is. And it's $22 million, plus their scholarship money, which is probably $2 to $3 million.
That's pretty – well, yeah, keep going.
So now you just we're in the process here at EKU of developing contracts, okay? What does the contract – what can it say and what do you want it to say? Do you want it to talk about academics? Do you want it to talk about – all right, let's just say used to a kid quit, right, in September. Just, I don't love football anymore. I don't want to play anymore. And he'd stay on scholarship the rest of the way, right? Nowadays, hey, man, you got a contract. You broke your contract. Now you owe, let's just say for simplicity, there's 6 months in a contract. You went 3 months. You owe 3 months of tuition. You owe 3 months of room and board. I'm not paying that.
Right.
Because I got to save that money to try to pay somebody else to stay, maybe.
Yeah, and it never ends, right there. Hey, listen, hold on the line. We got 2 more questions. We're going to take a break. Can you hold on?
Yeah, I can.
All right, we're going to hold on. We'll come back with you.
All right, we're going to put Coach on hold. We'll have more with EKU head football coach Walt Wells coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
At the end of the day, he's moving on. We're moving on, too, and we'll be ready to roll when we get to next fall.
That was Coach Josh Heupel. On Saturday, we continue our conversation with Coach Walt Wells from Eastern Kentucky University here on the Chasing Big Joe Show.
All right, Coach, let me bring this up. Chris Winkie won the Heisman Trophy. I think he was 29 years old, right? You know Chris Winkie,
right?
Obviously.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So he spent 7 years in minor league baseball, made a couple million dollars. Why is it okay for those guys to do baseball and all that and still keep the eligibility and come back and play football? I know it's been a rule for a while, but is that kind of unfair? Is that just kind of how it is? Because other guys, Deion did it. Other guys have done it throughout to come back and keep their eligibility when they've gone pro in a sport.
Well, because with Chris, he never started school. See, there's still the NCAA rule that once you start school, you've got 5 years to play four.
Okay, that makes perfect sense there.
So he never started school. So technically anybody could do that that's never started school. But once you start school, your clock starts, whether you're just a regular student or whether you're a student athlete, it doesn't matter. The first day you enroll in class and go sit in a class, your clock starts. You got 5 years to play four. And you have to pass so many hours and you still got the academic portion to it. That's why the Will Levis thing right now, the way the standard is and the way the rules are, wouldn't work. Now, that gets into, it's still a university. It's still a place of learning. It's still the education still is the number one product of every university that you go to. The problem is that is all true and very true and should be true. Okay, I think, everybody's got a degree, wants a degree, loves their school, went and worked hard for it, paid for it, however you paid for it, and you got your education. The problem is the football is making a lot of money.
Right.
And schools, University of Tennessee, Eastern Kentucky University was started in the early 1900s, right?
True.
What do they need? Money. To build buildings, to redo buildings, to make, the 60 dorms you know, 2025 dorms to make, you know, or tear them down and put new ones up. Well, where does that money come from? Well, you know, donations, endowment, but it also comes from TV money at that level from football.
It's all about the money. Real quick, you have coached for two of the most iconic college football coaches of all time, Roy Kidd and Herschel Moore. I mean, those two guys are legendary college football coaches. How, if, and both men have passed away.
How could you leave Butch Jones off that
list? Come right. Sorry. How could, what would their reaction be today, Coach? I mean, you go back with Paternos, the Bowdens, Roy Kidd is up there with those guys. What would the reaction be today if this Nico situation happened to them?
They would retire.
Like Saban.
I mean, it depends. You know, I work for them when they're old. If they're young, you're going to try to figure out a way to fight through it. I mean, every coach is going to say they're okay with it because guess what? They have to for recruiting. All right, they have to. They have to understand it. And I do understand them getting paid. They're making tons of money by going out and making great plays on CBS, ESPN, whatever. Okay, Vegas is making tons of money. That's the piece nobody talks about. But ESPN started a betting thing for a reason. And it's not because it didn't make money.
Right.
And so, you know, all those things in play, these kids deserve, because they don't have time to work. They don't have time to go do internships. They don't have time. I mean, we have an aviation program, but you really can't play football and be in aviation. Because they, you know, got to go fly when we're practicing. I mean, you just can't do it. And you can't fly without, you know, flying. And you can't practice football or play without practice.
Right.
So, I mean, they do deserve some compensation, and totally. But what I think's gotten out of hand is we're paying kids, you know, they're just going to the highest bidder. And it's gotten out of hand. And I liken this. This is what's happening out there. And on a similar stage, and I'm not going to say totally the same. Everybody knows the rock stars that at 18, 19, 20 years old make it, right? And they get all this money and all this fame. And you know what comes with all that? Drugs and alcohol and women, right? And nobody wants to say it like this. But some guys are mature enough and have people around them that are mature enough to handle it. And some guys aren't.
Yep.
And universities aren't equipped to handle the problems that are coming. I mean, if you don't think there's going to be financial hardships of a guy making $2.8 million, then you're probably mistaken. Because you go from not having that kind of money to having that kind of money. But like I said, paying your agents, paying your lawyer, paying your financial guy, paying your taxes. You got to pay taxes on it. And then everybody wants a handout. And we hear about all the NFL players that struggle with that. And like I said, the rock star that struggles with that. And you got to keep feeding the beast. You know, everybody wants a piece. When does football and getting your education and, you know, hanging out with your buddies and making lifelong friends in college come about? Because you're worried about, you know, maybe some people that are close to you needing, you know, their house paid for, or their mortgage paid, or their rent paid, you know, and we're flying people in jets to visits and stuff like that. And I get it. That's cool. That's awesome. And that's the new age, but that costs a lot of money. And when people get used to not going and standing in line and traveling commercial and da, 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 they want to do it all the time. And you can't do that because the money's going to dry out. Now, what about in these contracts I'm hearing, people are going to put performance clauses in there. You get this much if you're a starter. You get this much if you're All-American. You get this much if we win the conference. You get this much if, you know. What's that going to do to a kid trying to, you know, Josh Dobbs trying to become an astronaut?
Great point.
It's going to change. I mean, it's already changed a lot of things.
When he's got to take all them hard classes, but he's got to worry about that too because somebody's getting that money. And if he doesn't perform, that money goes away.
Yep. So
there's a reason the system was the way it was, and it was pretty good, even though we all bitched about it.
Right.
It was pretty good. And there's a reason why back in the 60s and the 70s, it was the haves and has nots, and then we changed everything. Because I'm going to be honest with you, women's athletics, minor sports, will struggle if they keep this model up.
Yep. Walter, you know, there's a Cinderella song called "You Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone." I think that might be appropriate for this.
Could it have been tweaked better? Could we have had more compassion for the student athletes and took care of them in a different way and avoided all this? If somebody had some foresight, yes. But what happened is everybody was getting that money and they wanted to stockpile it. And I don't mean this bad. I'm not saying everybody did this, but I know it's happened at some places. They build, the biology building with it. They build, this building. They pay this administrator or this, that, coaches. I mean, instead of giving a little bit back to the players.
100%. Walt, great perspective. Thanks so much for doing this today. We love getting your perspective on this stuff, so thanks so much.
Well, I appreciate it. And like I said, I don't know that situation in Knoxville very well, but I can only imagine what they're going through, and it's tough. So, tell the Vol fans to be easy on them.
Well, we will. Good luck to you in spring practice, and we'll be talking to you here very soon.
Sounds great. Y'all have a great day.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Eastern Kentucky football coach Walt Wells joining us here on the program. We will continue this discussion. A lot of you want to continue discussing this. Obviously, a lot of layers to this, yes. But some really good stuff from Coach Wells, and appreciate him. Coming up tomorrow night, again, note tomorrow night, not Wednesday night, Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. It is Smashville Live. It's going to be Luke Evangelista and Matthew Wood as the special guests. Tomorrow starting at 6, Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue, Chasing Big Joe, hour number 2 next.